Local Senses Mapping in Bloomsbury, November 2019-20. Two dogs, two dictaphones, 9 wintry evenings, 15 in-person workshops, 1 walk, 4 journeys, a little further, 10 parallel sensations, a black map in hand, a touch of convivial glow, refilling the cup, a step forward, roll back, 10 Zoom check-ins, a wash of fearful flesh, 1 year, treading uncharted land. Setting off. Perspectives by Leonie, Lizzie, Jeff, Leslie, Colin, Richard. The essence of this architecture is movement synchronized towards a precise objective. We observe a fraction of the process, like hearing the vibration of a single string in an orchestra of supergiants. We know but cannot grasp that above and below, beyond the limits of perception or imagination, thousands and millions of simultaneous transformations are at work, interlinked like a musical score by mathematical counterpoint. It has been described as a symphony in geometry, but we lack the ears to hear it. Stanislav Lem, Solaris, 1970, page 126. Stop. Leonie requests the stop outside the church on Cromer Street. Intersections bring our walk to life, and one in particular between Cromer Street and Argyle Walk has extra resonance. For 3 of us, it intersects our past and our present. Standing here and sharing memories amongst friends means something. It matters. For me, I lived on both sides of this significant-insignificant divide, the intersection of a narrow alley and a cobbled lane. I first came here as a teenager, filled with butterflies, fear and anticipation, running to my first ever consciousness-raising group. 10 years on, here I walk my son to nursery and school. We laugh together many mornings, remembering how we clambered across the broken, tree-strewn streets the morning after the great storm of 87. Over 3 decades, I moved in all 4 directions from this crossroads. Me, my cat, my son, my love, and our grandchildren. I worked here, built here, danced here, and tried every Indian restaurant with my family here. We had fun and frolics. Friends lived here. Friends died here. Then, like those trees battered in the storm, a small part of me is bent by the wind. A tiny blood clot is blown off course and leaves me stumbling through the rubble of a new brain. Losing the part of my sight that keeps me grounded, the streets underfoot change overnight. Like those branches strewn across the road, I struggle to coordinate my limbs over this strange terrain. It was all change in this beautiful spot by the bench where we sat holding hands, my love, as we laughed under the tree where my cat sat. It darkens now. It is my route to the neurology hospital. Life as I knew it swept away. And then it wasn't. Our walk, our group, pulls me back together, back home to this place, its memories, its people, to what I loved and where I loved it. A guided meditation on becoming present. The beauty of doing an exercise in being present is how the experience connects the inner world to the outside world. You will be left feeling truly present to the moment, to your surroundings and to those around you. Begin with either your eyes open or closed, your feet connected to the ground beneath you, and take a few moments to breathe consciously. Make sure your body feels comfortable. Begin working with your senses one at a time. Notice the sounds around you. Name them in your mind as they introduce themselves. This could be traffic sounds, a clock ticking, a heartbeat, or voices close by. Keep this focus momentarily, and gradually introduce any aromas around you. Earth smells, food cooking, perfume. At the same time, notice what you see. Is it all darkness? Is there a glow from a streetlight, an object you see or sense, a person close by? Historic, atmospheric, Parisian. Stop. Request to stop at the Laundry Smell by Colin and Leslie on the corner of Widbourne Street and Argyle Walk. I step forward, once, twice, on the pavement that gives little information, but scrolls backwards beneath my feet. then in front and on my left, sound. First in little chunks and chinks, then louder with the sparkle and tinkle of glasses. Beneath, the murmur rising and falling with each step getting louder. Male and female voices, a shriek, a laugh. As I draw close, suddenly a door opens, letting out a beery gust, warm air mixing with the cold around my head. Air that's passed over half-empty beer mugs, puffed from half-eaten bags of crisps, and over damp coats and hair. Cheering and inviting, "Come on in." And then in the doorway, someone calls over their shoulder, "See you tomorrow, Jack. See you in the morning." Further back in the room, Jack says something loud and happy. Jill screams with laughter and Tom raises his voice to make his point. Others fall silent, listening. Then George. "Anyone for any more?" "I'm half empty," comes the reply. I stand still, listening to people I'll never know and who will never know me. I'm reflecting that half empty or half full. Either way, I bet they want more. As I walk away from this warm, cosy place, I think about those lives touching and crossing and feel happy for them, and it feels good to have heard them. Stop. Approximately a third of the way around the route, on Tavistock Place. I'm now stationary, motionless, except for a gentle swaying from side to side, and enjoying this sense of warmth that's holding our stillness together. I take little notice of any sound or speech, or of the random local activities that lay beyond our shuffling group. Instead, I peer vacantly into a concrete hole at the bottom of a flight of deadly stone stairs, lit only by a dysfunctional municipal bulb and guarded by dark sentinel railings. We continue to stand and mumble in unison. Then, as my focus returns to street level and away from this no-access but very public tomb, I notice Lizzie eating a sandwich on Sandwich Street, and my mind returns to a place of simplicity, comfort, and order. Non-threatening. Convivial. Cobbled. Moving on. Perspectives by Lizzie, Jeff, Leslie, Colin, Richard, Ricky. The arithmetical system is based on the idea of indefinite numbers. It emphasizes the importance of the concepts greater and lesser, which our mathematicians symbolize as less than or equal to and greater than or equal to. It states that the operation of counting modifies quantities and changes them from indefinites to definites. The fact that several individuals counting the same quantity arrive at the same result is, say psychologists, an example of the association of ideas or the good use of memory. Jorge Luis Borges, Tlön Ukbar, Orbis Tertius in Fictions, page 27, 1956, circa 1998, Calder Publications, London. Moving on. "Take it off, mate. She's gone. Time to move on." John's words. "Meet me in the Skinner's Arms, Judd Street, almost opposite the RNIB, 6 p.m. Friday night." Email from Kerry. As the tube approaches King's Cross, he makes up his mind, removing his heavy plain gold wedding ring and slipping it carefully into his shoulder bag. Coming up and out onto the south side of Euston Road, he walks west until the left turn into Judd Street. A short walk, and there's the Skinner's Arms, but he's much too early. Deciding to work off some of his nervous energy, he walks further down and turns into Cromer Street. Coming to a stop outside a church, he feels as if he has stepped into another place or time. The constant roar of traffic is replaced by the soft, sinuous syncopation of bicycle wheels. Twilight adds an even more indistinct, monotesque quality to a small, open green space before him. In the distance, the sound of children playing interwoven with bursts of birdsong. Cobbles under his feet, a breath of bread baking. This could be Paris. Bright lights shine ahead, the happy hum of voices, an inviting bar with pavement seating. Better not, he'll be late. Finding himself on Argyle Walk, he turns into Widbourne Street, where he's suddenly arrested by the scent of laundry, reminiscent of family, domesticity, home. Must move on. Back onto Cromer Street and then Judd Street. Once again, he's outside the pub. A little further up the road, people are leaving the RNIB and snatches of goodbye drift on the air. He's beginning to feel anxious about finding Kerry in a potentially packed pub, when there she is, right beside him, with a long white cane that matches his own. Before entering the pub, they clasp their left hands briefly, and he leads the way, as together they move forward. Stop. Southeastern corner at the front of Brunswick Centre, at the end of the eastern walkway. We are sheltered from the breeze. There's an opening to the left. I can tell it's a covered area because of the acoustics of people's voices and feet. No idea about the height of the centre. It could be hugely high or quite low. I can't hear that. No traffic noise. It feels perfectly safe. I don't feel jostled or that my personal space is being invaded. I really like the difference between the acoustic space that we're in, which is quite open, and the closed one, which is to the left. Smells of women's perfume. I'm a bit olfactorily challenged. My sense of smell is really weak, but I'm getting little foodie smells there. It's funny how smell comes in waves. Even though we're not in a desperately windy area, people move air around just by walking. Safe, yet labyrinthine. Simple, yet complex. Stop. Northwest end of the central walkway of the Brunswick Centre, near the covered exit, to the left. West. Where are the others? We're on our own. But I'm with my girl, so I'm not alone. We're in the right place, so that's okay. So we'll carry on walking anyway. Feels like we're treading uncharted land. But I've got my girl. She's holding my hand. Feels like we're treading uncharted land. But I've got my girl. She's holding my hand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sailing alone. We cross the road to the other side, then turn right and along we glide. We walk for 50 yards or so. Do I feel afraid? No, no, no. Feels like we're treading uncharted land. But I've got my girl. She's holding my hand. Feels like we're treading uncharted land. But I've got my girl. She's holding my hand. Ooh, yeah, 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 yeah. Then hear my name across the road, and Natania brings us back to the fold. They were worried a bit, I understand, but my lovely girl, she was holding my hand. Felt like we treaded uncharted land, but I had my girl, she was holding my hand. Felt like we trod uncharted land, but I had my girl, she was holding my hand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Treading uncharted land. She was holding my hand. Ooh, yeah. Black on black. A map of sandpaper. A bucket of paint. A changing view. A path mistaken. A torn man. A faceless crowd. A trip to nowhere. A trip to somewhere. A lighted cigarette. A stick of light. A dark day. A day that's night. A wrong foot, a slab that takes me, a flinching muscle, a fall, a mark, a scar of fate, a new corner, a new beginning, a coat of arms, a place. Cold and dispassionate, I am an infected gate, you are fearful flesh. Closing the Loop. Perspectives by Lizzie, Leonie, Richard, Ricky. Find out the date and time of the next full moon. Take up a position where you can watch the full moon rise. Wait until the moon is at its zenith. Look at image 80. You are looking at an image of the Earth taken from the moon. Lift the book to the night sky with the image of the Earth facing you. Position the image of the Earth so that you can see the moon at the same time. Hold the images of the Earth and the moon together and wait. Image 80 is a colour photograph entitled The Blue Marble. It depicts the view of the Earth as seen by the Apollo 17 crew travelling towards the moon. The image was taken on 7th of December 1972. Jane Rendell, Sight Writing, The Architecture of Art Criticism, IB, Tourists & Co., Limited, 2010, pages 246 to 247. Stop. On the southern edge of the curve of Cartwright Gardens. We walked in Morse code, dot dash, dot dash, dot dash, all stopping and starting, pausing and pacing. Eager in our pauses, we huddle together, words our brazier that banish the biting cold. But walking from dot to dot, moving from our places, staying together in paces, now that was a different matter altogether. Perhaps the algebra of pacing is harder than of pausing, the sum of our dashes too difficult to calculate. 10 walkers plus 2 dogs times narrow streets, minus uneven paving, minus steep curbs, times dark night, times rush hour crowds, plus too many good conversations, equals... question mark? I am the moon, your crown, watching as you wax and wane along the urban way. You, mirror of my mood, whom I see, a little girl treading through the streets of London. I see you wrapped in an eiderdown coat, your hands encased in a muff of blue, and I raise my beam to guide you, girl of vulnerability. And when you see my hidden face, I recognise your glance, look of youth, steps of brave. I see you passing by, as though I am your guardian angel, way beyond the stars. I know your name, I know your stride, and if you happen to lose your way, the ivory of my glow will lead you back and forward till you find your way to go. How does the moon see me? Winter Street at night, King's Cross. Under our feet, cold cobbles. Ahead, a sense of old-fashioned comfort. In the distance, the buzz of being busy. Beside us, mystery beckons. Outside, we are stone cold. Inside, a spark of warmth is kindled as we walk towards the welcoming light. Dogs. Closeness. Steps. Nothing is quite as satisfying as turning a chronic situation into a positive experience. This course has been at the apex of refilling the cup. I was declared severely sight impaired in March 2019. My driving license was seized, I feared losing my job, relationships, and the future evaporated. In short, I felt completely effed, and I make no apology for the terminology. Then the sun came out. The urban experience has long been relegated to how often we can check our mobile phones and habitually service our auditory senses with dodgy earphones, isolating ourselves in a misguided quest for individuality at the expense of losing the big wide world out there. Losing one's sight is an involuntary isolation, and this course has been the can opener to both the new solitude I was experiencing and the old which I chose. I've rediscovered how my other senses of smell, hearing and touch may be used to navigate the metropolitan environment with an exhilaration that the clinical visual map was never able to offer. A wonderful journey accompanied by a bunch of clever, funny and intelligent people, plus the odd dog. Thank you. I remember our cold winter walk, a black map in hand, a petticoat of leaves, the words we spoke. Sorry I cannot be there now the sun has awakened over Bloomsbury. If I could, and when I can, I will tread those same inquisitive steps, but this time in green sandals. The same streets of London tapping at wrought iron rails, now only my own voice reverberating through cleaner air. Sorry I cannot be there, though I go there anyway, to walk beside the stream of parallel sensations. Local Senses Contributors: Colin Palgrave, Jeff Clark, Leonie Abrahamson, Leslie Palgrave, Lizzie Nichols, Richard Simpson, Ricky Jadelko. Local Senses Team: Oscar Waugh, Graphic Designer, Nathan Bather, Filmmaker, Benjamin Jenner, Workshop Leader, Natanya Mark, Local Senses Founder and Project Manager. Thank you to the Royal National Institute of Blind People for their in-kind Judd Street workshop space and support during this external project. Special thanks to Ashley Venables, Krista Dixon, Tony Lee and Tricia Smichael. Local Senses ran from November 2019 to 20 and was funded by the Mayor of London's Culture Seeds Fund. Published with support from GLA Culture Seeds.